afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the June 5, 2018 HEC Board Meeting. First, I'd like to acknowledge that we have a quorum today and also welcome everyone, including guests to our meeting this afternoon. Certainly appreciate your presence here. It is very noted. I will say up front, just to make sure that we have an orderly meeting today, that your presence is certainly very welcome. And while we acknowledge everyone's presence for the purposes of this board meeting, we are, and as we have been in the previous board meetings, while it is a public meeting, we do not take public comments, but certainly appreciate everyone being here. For those who submitted additional correspondence and letters related to the issues of today's board meeting, I certainly want to acknowledge that as well. And so with that, just moving through today's pretty packed agenda, the first item is to approve the minutes of the members' meeting held on March 29, 2018. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second, sir.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item on our agenda is the President's Report, which is made by President Enderlin.
Thank you, Maria, and thank you to the members today. Kyle, thank you in particular for your extra efforts to be here today. I'm proud to begin by sharing with the board that HTC was recently recognized by the National Association of Local Housing Finance Agencies, which is also called NALFRA, as the recipient of its Multifamily Excellence Award for 2018. The award recognized HTC's financing of the Alvista Towers development in Jamaica, Queens, which the board approved in June of 2016. Financed under our M-Squared program, the Alvista serves a diverse range of household incomes in an affordable development, all within close proximity to transportation and access to jobs. And notably, a quarter of the low-income units of this development are permanently affordable in a neighborhood that is attracting significant new investment, thanks to the city's inclusionary housing program. This project is exemplary, but its recognition highlights the hard work and creativity that go into the many exceptional projects the board has approved over the years. I'm also happy to report that our own Rich Froelich, HTC's Chief Operating Officer, was recently named to a leadership position on the NALFA board. This is a much-deserved honor for Rich that will help strengthen the role of HTC in the city in shaping NALFA's national housing policy agenda. As we congratulate Rich, I'd like to add that this recognition is a reflection of the talent and dedication that exists throughout the staff at HTC and among our colleagues at HPD as well. We have an agenda today that we can also take pride in. After Senior Vice President for Finance Ellen Duffy confirms the members' approval of additional firms for our roster of managing underwriters for HTC's open resolution, we will move on to new projects and programs that will help further the Housing New York plan. In all, it's expected that the board's actions today will enable HTC to close on 19 projects comprising 5,120 affordable homes later this month. Senior Vice President for Development Anthony Richardson will present the latest proposed actions under the open resolution, followed by Robert Sanna of our Preservation Finance Department, who will request approval for an additional proposed preservation project. Finally, Luke Schrey of our Development Department will present an exciting new program that expands HTC's collaboration with the New York City Acquisition Fund. Luke will explain in detail, but the Neighborhood Pillars Program was announced last fall by Mayor de Blasio and by Commissioner Torres Springer as one of the new initiatives in Housing New York 2.0 that will help community-based nonprofits play a greater role in the city's affordable housing industry. These mission-driven organizations know their neighborhoods best and must continue to be strong partners and stakeholders in our ongoing efforts to preserve affordable housing. Ultimately, what matters most are the lives of the many New Yorkers who will benefit from these new developments and programs when they receive the key to a new home or the news that they can stay in the home they already have. We must continue to create as many affordable housing opportunities as possible for as many New Yorkers as possible. The board's actions today will take us steps closer to that goal. Maria, this concludes my remarks. If there are no questions or comments, please continue.
Thank you,
Mayor. Thank you.
So pursuant to the PAA and for the purposes of discussing the next items in our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HUC Finance Committee. The next items here, unless there are any items related to finance, is the approval of additional managing underwriters for the corporation's bond issuances.
Thank you. The approval of additional co-managing underwriters for the corporation's bond issuances was originally presented to the members at the March 29, 2018 meeting. However, it was not approved at that time due to the lack of a quorum for this agenda item due to a recusal. As detailed in the memorandum before you, the members are requested to approve UBS Financial Services and TD Securities as a co-manager for the corporation's bond issuances. The corporation is interested in adding these firms to its existing underwriting team to provide access to a greater universe of retail and institutional investors. Any questions?
The question for you is, if I remember correctly, last time there was provision that we would add until and unless they bring us some good ideas. And have they brought us any ideas about any deals?
Yes, I mean, both firms are very strong, have very good retail presence, and so we think that they add significant value. UBS at one point was the largest player in public finance, and then they departed the field. They've now started.
But have they brought to us any ideas? Because that was one of the provisions.
Yes, they have. We've met with them and discussed some concepts that they think would be helpful, and as far as deepening potential retail investing and the like, and so and other people that they bank with that will, I think, add value to the corporation. That's true for both TD as well as UBS.
Madam Chairman, I am required by the Conflict of Interest Board to disclose, although it does not disqualify me in any way, that members of my firm, but not I, represent time to time Citi, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo. All of which are involved somewhere or other.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments? Not do I have a motion to approve the additional co-managing underwriters for the corporation bond issuance? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. The next item on the agenda, approval of multifamily housing revenue bonds 2018 Series C, D, and E, 2022 Series A, the multifamily mortgage revenue debt obligation, and approval of mortgage. Yes.
Thank you. Please note that some edits and updates have been made to your memorandum. Please refer to the black line that has been presented before you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2018 Series C1, C2, B1, D2, Series E, and 2022 Series A bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $838,345,000 to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities as described in your memorandum. I'm also pleased to recommend that the members authorize the corporation to enter into one funding loan agreement with Citibank to receive funds from Citibank, which will in turn be loaned by the corporation to one borrower, commonly referred to as the back-to-back structure, as a standalone financing for development in the amount not expected to exceed $78,980,000, and to enter into a forward bond purchase agreement with Citibank regarding the sale of the 2022 bonds. Interest on the 2018 Series C1 bonds and C2 bonds, the Series E bonds and the 22 bonds, and the funding loan obligations is expected to be exempt from federal, state, and local income tax, and such bonds and obligations will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap, an allocation of recycled volume cap in accordance with the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, and the refunding of certain outstanding bonds or obligations of the corporation. Interest on the 2018 Series D1 and D2 bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. Additionally, I'm pleased to recommend that the members authorize the corporation to, one, originate two taxable senior mortgage loans and to fund the related subordinate mortgage loans to finance the construction of two developments, and two, to provide the permanent financing for the taxable senior mortgage loans. Further, I'm pleased to recommend that the members authorize the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not expected to exceed $52,665,000 to finance the rehabilitation and preservation of two developments. Lastly, I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve two or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $250 million to manage interest rate risk relating to the variable rate bonds of the open resolution and in anticipation of a refunding of certain open resolution tax-exempt bonds on or about February 1, 2019 to protect against potential interest rate increases by effectuating an interest rate lock. The corporation expects to designate the 2018 and the 2022 bonds, if issued, as sustainable neighborhood bonds. Approval of these resolutions will authorize the 265th through 269th supplemental resolutions under the corporation's open resolution and the funding loan agreement. Taxable construction and permanent loans. It is anticipated that the corporation will originate certain senior taxable construction mortgage loans and finance certain subordinate mortgage loans for the construction of two mixed middle-income developments, 1618 Fulton Street to be located in the Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn and the Robeson to be located in Central Harlem. It is anticipated that upon origination, the corporation will sell a 100% participation interest in each of the senior construction loans to a bank, and upon construction completion and conversion to a permanent loan, the corporation will repurchase the respective bank's participation interest in the applicable construction loan with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and or with available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not expected to exceed $40,365,000 and pledge each permanent loan to the open resolution. It is anticipated that the corporation will use its unrestricted reserves for available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not to exceed $19,025,000 to finance the subordinate construction loans. For more specific information on each project, please see attachments 3 and 4. Preservation loans. The corporation expects to use the corporation's unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not to exceed $52,665,000 to finance and or restructure mortgage loans for the rehabilitation and or preservation of two developments, Masaryk Towers, a Mitchell-Lama cooperative located on Manhattan's Lower East Side, and the Communal Life portfolio, three buildings located in the Crotona Park and East Tremont sections of the Bronx. Together, the two developments will represent the preservation of over 1,300 units of affordable housing. The portion of the open resolution bonds associated with the Mitchell-Lama reinvestment loan is expected to be designated Mitchell-Lama restructuring bonds. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 and 2. 2018 Series C bonds. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2018 Series C bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $683,015,000, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance mortgage loans for up to 14 developments, 5 mix and match projects, and 9 ELLA projects that will create, in aggregate, more than 3,000 units of rental housing to be located in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan. 9 ELLA developments and 5 mix and match developments are expected to receive subordinate financing from the 2018 Series C bonds and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves. The aggregate amount of such subordinate financing is not expected to exceed $210 million. 13 subordinate loans are expected to have an interest rate equal to the applicable federal rate as recently published by the Internal Revenue Service, with set lower monthly payments to be advanced during construction and to remain in the projects as permanent loans. One subordinate loan is expected to have an interest rate of 1%, will be advanced during construction, and will remain in the project as a permanent loan. One mix-and-match development, Archer Green, will receive subordinate financing from the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $39,640,000. Pursuant to staff's request and the members' approval, it is expected that this subordinate financing will be provided in an amount greater than the current programmatic guidelines for total loan size, but within the guidelines for a per-unit subsidy. The subordinate loan is expected to bear an interest rate equal to the applicable federal rate as recently published by the Internal Revenue Service, with set lower monthly payments, will be advanced during construction, and will remain in the project as a permanent loan. The corporation intends to fund the short-term portion of each senior mortgage loan primarily with its unrestricted reserves. When borrower prepayments from tax credit equity are received upon project completion, such prepayments will be available for relending by the corporation to other affordable housing projects. Any future lending from such prepayments will be presented to the members for approval. With the exception of the permanent financing of the 1618 Fulton and the Robeson developments described previously and also presented in your memorandum, In addition to the residential financing described in the memorandum, the Coney Island Phase 1 development is expected to include a multi-use intake and office facility for the New York City Human Resources Administration, which will be financed with a subordinate mortgage loan in an amount not to exceed $26,400,000, originated by the corporation and funded by a bank pursuant to a participation agreement with the corporation. In addition to the residential financing described in your memorandum, the Archer Green development is expected to include commercial space that will be financed with a subordinate mortgage loan in an amount not to exceed $12 million to be funded by the corporation during the construction with its unrestricted reserves to be repaid with an expected five-year term. The Series C1 and C2 bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt bonds in an initial fixed-rate term with convertible options as further described in your memo. More detail on the anticipated developments can be found in attachments 5 through 18. 2018 Series D. It is anticipated the proceeds of the 2018 Series D bonds in an amount not to exceed $100 million will be used to redeem certain bonds, including certain index variable rate and fixed rate bonds outstanding under the open resolution, to re-leverage the underlying assets that are currently held under the open resolution and lock in funding at the current low interest rates. The issuance of the 2018 Series D bonds will allow for replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the Mayor's Housing New York plan. The Series D bonds are expected to be issued on a fixed-rate taxable basis. 2018 Series E. It is anticipated the proceeds of the 2018 Series E bonds in an amount not to exceed $25,425,000 will be used to refund the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2008 Series M. The refunding would generate interest rate savings in the open resolution for the corporation. The Series E bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt bonds in an initial fixed-rate term with convertible options as further described in your memorandum. Funding loan agreement and 2022 bonds. The corporation expects to, one, enter into the loan agreement, the funding loan agreement, with Citibank to finance the construction of one development and issue one or more multifamily housing revenue debt obligations in an amount not expected to exceed $78,980,000. Two, to enter into a forward bond purchase agreement with Citibank regarding the sale of the 2022 bonds. And three, to issue the 2022 bonds after completion of the project or conversion of the loan in an amount not to exceed $29,905,000 to refund a portion of the funding loan obligations for the permanent phase financing of the project. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the funding loan will be used to finance the construction phase mortgage loan and that the 2022 bonds will be sold to Citibank with proceeds from such bonds used to finance the permanent phase mortgage loan. The funding loan obligations are expected to be issued as one or multiple fixed-rate tax-exempt obligations. The 2022 bonds are expected to be issued as tax-exempt bonds in 2022 at fixed rates or in an initial fixed-rate mode with convertible options as further described in your memorandum. For more specific information on the project, please see Attachment 18. Interest rate hedge and anticipated refunding in February 2019. In anticipation of an increase in the short-term index rates, including the three-month LIBOR index that is used for most of the corporation's variable rate bonds outstanding under the open resolution, the corporation is working with its hedge advisor, Mahanti Garjulo, LLC, to determine the appropriate hedging amount and the efficient hedging instrument, including an interest rate swap or an interest rate cap, to manage the interest rate risk associated with its variable rate portfolio and to further protect itself from interest rate volatility. Additionally, the corporation expects to issue approximately $261,195,000 in tax-exempt bonds on or around February 1, 2019, which issuance will be brought to the members for approval prior to that time, to refund certain open resolution bonds that will become optionally callable on May 1, 2019. Given that it is currently anticipated that there will be 2 to 3 additional interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve, the corporation is working with its hedge advisor to lock in the favorable current financing costs and maximize the refunding savings through the facilitation of an interest rate hedging instrument, including a forward-starting interest rate swap or a rate lock that could be applied to existing open resolution variable rate bonds if staff determined to do so based upon market conditions at the time or in the event the refunding bonds are issued. The members are being asked to approve two or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $250 million and at a cost not expected to exceed $5 million to be funded with the corporation's unrestricted reserves to manage its interest rate risk relating to the outstanding index rate open resolution bonds and to preserve a level of savings for certain refunding bonds anticipated to be issued on or about February 1, 2019. More detail on the developments as well as the bond underwriters' risk, fees, and credit ratings associated with the 2018 and the 2022 bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Unless there are any questions, Rich will provide the authorizing resolutions.
Madam Chairman, first a question. Am I, as a member, in a position where I can move or ask that one item of use, project number 14, be stricken, or do I have to vote against the entire package?
It's presented as an entire package.
Madam Chairman, I'm going to oppose this package. I'm going to oppose the package because of public policy. You will recall, or at least the President will recall, that the motivating force behind Marshall Lou Grant, the STAG organization, is an entity that is engaged in a practice of bait and switch in the borough of the Bronx for a period of time. Reprimanded by the media, the New York Post, the New York Daily News, and others, condemned by community boards in the Bronx because of a practice of getting 421A allowances and then an announcing a program that's going to be residential housing, whether affordable or not, and then switching it to homeless shelters without consultation with anyone, let alone the communities involved, the borough president of the Bronx, or the state of New York. Add to that the fact that this developer has consistently, in at least one project, as Mr. Weissman from HPD will tell you, has consistently engaged in work before hours, after hours, in violation of the building code and in violation of building regulations. Now, there's an issue here, a fundamental issue, where the public policy is such that it will encourage or discourage the use of public funds by people who have demonstrated they are not fit. If the answer is that the policy of this administration in the city of New York is to allow that kind of conduct to go on and to continue, then the entire housing program, which this mayor has championed, is stained, in my view. In my view, this is wrong. It is fundamentally wrong. It may be a wonderful business idea, but it is wrong to reward somebody who has a demonstrated, unquestioned record of doing things that shouldn't be done in a manner that makes, in my opinion, the entity not fit for public funds in this kind of a purpose. I will therefore have to oppose this as long as this application is part of it. And I hate to do it because I've been in this public housing game since serving as Commissioner of Housing and Buildings since 1965. I will tell you, however, in that period of time, over a half a century, I have seen few developers that match this developer in terms of ignominy. This takes the cake in my book.
Of course, always respect for questions and back on the project. I think it might be helpful for the board if we can address relevance of the issue as it relates to the project presented here, and I'll also make a general comment to assure other members of the board that there is always, for all of these projects, an extensive and rigorous sponsor process will be tasked with this particular project, but of course it is your prerogative as a board member. which should clarify the one issue that's related to the project.
And I'm happy to do that, too. And as you know, we speak privately about this. I certainly understand your position, respect your position. As regards this particular project, the incident that happened previously cannot happen in this circumstance. This is financed in a way that, that the conversion that you talked about, the 421A conversion from residential to the shelter, which was legal, although I can agree about the response within the community, cannot happen here. That said, and we've talked about this already, you still feel very strongly about it. And you still have ongoing concerns about activities that you are concerned about could happen in other places. We have looked into as much of that as we could, what the particular building that you were talking about, Independence, backing onto Cannon, some of the design changes that were made in that. We have assurances from the developer ongoing, they've made this previously, after the last incident, that they would not be making a conversion of that nature. Again, in this particular project that we're talking about today, cannot happen. In that particular project, it is a 421A proposal that is declared as residential, but we'll be watching. There's no indication that they're going to change, and they have said they're not going to change that. As the chair mentioned, we also have looked at sponsor review very thoroughly, and we have no reason to believe that they will not pass sponsor review. And I understand also on that Ford Independence site that there were noise complaints, and the ECB has been out there, as you know, and I know that you've had consultation with them as well. And in each instance, they have found them to be within that noise limit. Now, I understand that you have concerns about the time frame in which they went out. They promised not to go out too early, and then they were out early again. But we're in ongoing conversations with them about that. So not to dispute anything you've said, I certainly understand it and respect your position on it. In this particular instance, though,
let me make points to respond. First of all, let me acknowledge that you have been most than solicitous of this view. I appreciate that. I wear two hats on this occasion. My primary and obvious hat is a member of this entity. My secondary hat is chairman of land use of Community Board Number 8. There is or was an investigation by the Department of Investigation of the conduct of this developer at this site and elsewhere. I don't know what the outcome of that has been or is not supposed to be known by your Director General of this issue. It seems to me that where you have a prima facie established actor who is a bad actor, at least prima facie and certainly in my opinion, that you have a public policy issue that you have to look at. Maybe a great project, but you have the same assurances that we had before he burned and flipped the last one. We, at the community board level and the borough president's office, received direct assurances in writing that this would not happen. Now you tell me this cannot happen. I accept your assurance. My point is not that whether it can or cannot. My point is that either you separate the fish from the pond. Either you separate the good actors from the bad actors, or you take the whole housing policy. And so what would clearly be visible is HDC and HPD are willing to and prepared to accept anybody in bad conduct. I don't believe that's the case, but that's the impression and the public perception. And if you go down that road, the slippery slope will taint everything we do. I do not want to be a party to that.
I do think that that's unfair, though, to say that because we do a significant review, we have to be very careful about not judging people other than through their actual behavior. I just want to be clear that we do.
But this
do
is on actual
well,
behavior.
But the things that they did, although you may find offensive, were not illegal and the like. Here, what we're trying to do, and we're trying to protect our name and our reputation in what we're doing, but in effect, there isn't anything on record that is something that, if that were the case, then they wouldn't pass sponsor review, in which case we couldn't do business with them. We have a very detailed process, as the commissioner mentioned and President Angelin mentioned. So we are doing that, and we hear you, And the point about DOI, DOI does that with us and for us. So just to be clear, if they pass review, then we've gone through all of the appropriate steps.
Memory serves me correctly. There have been other instances in this administration where issues have passed review in the housing arena, and we've had a problem afterwards. I'm not saying that's happened here or will happen. What I'm saying to you is there is no question, no reasonable person, in my view, can conclude other than when you bait the switch more than once and you have a hard reputation for doing it, that you cannot have a presumption that that person is the kind of people you want to do business with. I've made my point. My colleagues may disagree with me, but the point I make is one that the community boards in the Northern Bronx and in the Eastern Bronx share.
Was this a project approved by the community board?
Yes.
Yes. And the project also sought an Article 11 tax exemption, which was voted on by the city council, and it has to be supported by the local council member in order to even get scheduled. And we do have a letter of support from Community Board 7 that we can share with everyone.
Community Board 7?
Yes.
They were the ones who condemned him.
We can share the letter.
I'd like to see that letter.
We will share that. Are there other questions or comments?
Oh, yeah, thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of a supplemental resolution to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, and authorize the other activities listed therein in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve the making of subordinate loans for the project listed in your memo, the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $210 million, and preservation loans for two developments listed in your memo in an amount not to exceed $52,665,000. And the construction loans, subordinate loans, and related participation agreements in an amount not to exceed $110 million details in your memo from available funds in the open resolution or in the corporation's unrestricted reserves. And the execution plan authorized the officer of the corporation to mortgage related documents with any other documents necessary to accomplish such financing. The members are requested to approve the execution of two or more hedging agreements in an aggregate notional amount not expected to exceed $250 million and or use of unrestricted reserves for an amount not expected to exceed $5 billion and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into such hedging agreements. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution which provides for the execution of a funding loan agreement, mortgage-related documents, and any other documents necessary to accomplish the issuance of the funding loan obligation and the financing of the related loan.
Do I have a motion to approve the action described by Rich?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda, approval of a loan for La Cabana under the Corporation's Preservation Program. We'll give the presentation.
Thank you. I am pleased to present for the members' approval the origination of a senior mortgage loan, which is expected to be insured via the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Section 542C Risk Sharing Program and sold to the U.S. Treasury's Federal Financing Bank in an amount not to exceed $61,501,000 to finance the rehabilitation, permanent financing, and extension of affordability for the La Cabana development. The proceeds of the loan will be used for the mortgagor, La Cabana Apartments LLC, for the purpose of paying for the cost of preserving La Cabana, an affordable housing development consisting of 167 residential units across three buildings in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn. The development was originally financed by HDC in 1984 and organized under Article 5 of the New York State Private Housing Finance Law. Upon closing, the ownership structure will be reorganized as a housing development fund company pursuant to Article 11 of the Private Housing Finance Law. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the loan will be used to refinance the development's existing debt, fund moderate rehabilitation work, recapitalize project reserves, reduce the owner's equity position in the development, and facilitate the long-term preservation of affordable housing for households earning less than 50% of the area median income. The loan may initially be funded with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and is expected to be insured under the corporation's risk-sharing program with HUD. A beneficial interest in the loan is expected to immediately be sold to the FFB. The project, when closed, will be the corporation's eighth transaction under the FFB program, which was previously approved by the members in September 2014. Because the loan amount exceeds the guidelines set forth in the FFB Preservation Program pilot approved by the members in June 2017, this loan for La Cabana is being presented to the members for approval. The risks and fees associated with the project are described in greater detail in the memo before you. If there are no questions, the members are now requested to approve the making of a senior loan to the owner of La Cabana in an amount not to exceed $61,501,000.
Other questions on this item? Do I have a motion to approve a loan for La Cabana under the Corporation Preservation Program? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item, approval of the HCC Agent Floors Loan Program and investment in the New York City Acquisition Fund. Trey Wagner.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval two proposals related to the city's Neighborhood Pillars Program, which is a new program intended to support the Mayor's Housing New York 2.0 initiative by preserving naturally occurring affordable housing units not currently regulated by city affordable housing programs. First, the members are asked to authorize the creation of an HDC Neighborhood Pillars Loan Program, in which loans will be made in an aggregate amount not expected to exceed $100 million. To aid in the acquisition and moderate rehabilitation of multifamily residential buildings of fewer than approximately 50 units. All or a portion of the permanent loans may initially be funded by the unrestricted funds of the corporation in order to provide senior secured financing to eligible projects that will be coupled with subordinate debt originated by the corporation but funded with grants from the Department of Housing, Transportation, and Development. The terms of the Neighborhood Pillars Loan Program are consistent with the corporation's conservative underwriting standards and are detailed in the attached memorandum and term sheet. Additionally, all loans will require the corporation's credit committee approval. Loans greater than or equal to $25 million would be presented to the members for authorization at the Second, the members are requested to authorize the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to make an interest-only senior term loan to the New York City Acquisition Fund in an amount not to exceed $15 million for a term of up to 5 years in order to facilitate an increase in the volume of loans generated by the Acquisition Fund. Created in 2006, the Acquisition Fund offers acquisition, redevelopment, and moderate rehabilitation loans to experienced real estate developers of affordable housing in New York City. HTC holds a seat on the Acquisition Fund's credit committee that reviews and approves all loan proposals. Senior term lenders to the fund hold a senior position secured by the New York City Acquisition Fund, LLC, and its assets. The money is used in conjunction with subordinate funds to finance up to 35% of each individual project, with the remainder financed by loans secured by the project's assets. Further details on the terms and risks of these proposals are outlined in the memo before you. If there are no questions, the members are requested to approve, one, the issuance of senior loans under the terms of the HDC Neighborhood Pillars Loan Program in an aggregate amount not to exceed $100 million to be funded with the unrestricted reserves of the corporation, two, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of documents necessary to accomplish the financing, and three, the use of the unrestricted reserves of the corporation to make a senior term loan to the New York City Acquisition Fund in an amount not to exceed $15 million for a term of up to 5 years.
Are there other programs that we have where loans under $25 million are not subject to board action or
audit? Yeah, we've been authorized under a variety of programs to create, like, in particular, Mitchell-Lama and other preservation areas with certain guidelines, where you've given us that authority to do.
What has given you that authority?
The board has given us the authority.
I understand. The question I have is, tell me why that is necessary as a best practice in government.
Well, it's a timing issue, and so that we'll have the flexibility to be responsive. In effect, what we've usually done is where we've made loans, we come to you generally when we issue bonds, when we give authorization, so that if we're funding that loan out then with bonds. I mean, it's the limitation that we have. There's only so much capital that the corporation has. But generally, if we are doing loans pursuant to our guidelines that you approve, then we have the authority to make those loans.
I'm not quarreling with authority. What my issue is, it seems to me that at some point, by way of ratification or otherwise, the board had come back to the board with a report, otherwise
you
the
do.
Oversight. So can I take it that these loans have made under $25 million will come back to the board by way of ratification or otherwise?
We can definitely bring them back to the board as far as
all I'm interested
information.
All I'm interested in is the oversight that a board is supposed to have, it does have.
The answer is yes. We can do that.
We will do that.
Can we just note that in the minutes?
That's a good suggestion.
Thank you.
And in its simplest, just as what Rich said, it enables us to close any time of year.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. All I want to do is preserve oversight.
Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
Are there other questions or comments? Scott, do I have a motion to approve the HDC Spring Pillars Loan Program and investment in the university acquisition?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this time, I'd like to close the meeting. The Finance Committee is called for a motion of the 8th to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
Can I vote for it without voting for that?
Yes, exactly. You're ratifying the actions, but your previous vote is clear and will be recorded.
Can I make a point in this memo? Noted that the corporation's audit committee will be notified of the number of loans closings as well as the total volume of loans under this program at the end of the year. Noted in the memo.
Forgive me. That's not the point I'm trying to make, if I may. What I'm trying to make simply is this. I've encouraged precisely the idea of being able to have flexibility and to move with dispatch. What I seek to have is, and I'm told I will have, is that the board, as a matter after the event, can have ratification oversight so that the board, qua board, is in a position to discharge the normal board function. That's what the function of governance is.
We understand this.
Yeah, Mary is making the distinction between the audit committee, which will get that, and you're making the distinction with the board.
Right.
We can do it.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to now call for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this point, I'm calling the meeting. Also recognizing the presence of the quorum for the REMIC board. First item, approval of the minutes of the members meeting held on June 5, 2017. We have a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item here is the submission of the 2017 annual report. Very helpful. Thank you.
It was an active year for REMIC as we issued commitments to insure 1,400 loans covering over 2,100 units. This was comprised of $139 million in mortgage amount and a total insured amount of $29 million. Additionally, REMIC issued 27 certificates of insurance covering 9,500 units, and this was comprised of $240 million in mortgage amount and $49 million in insured amount. REMIC ended fiscal year 2017 with 243 loans portfolio covering over 29,000 units with a total mortgage amount of $1.2 billion and an insured amount of $263 million. REMIC ended the year with reserves totaling $122 million and at the end of April, those reserves stood at $125,000. I'm pleased to report that REMIC did not pay out any claims during fiscal year 2017 and does not currently have any projects in default. I will remind the members that REMIC has not paid out a claim since 2003, and all claims previously paid out were on old REMIC loans. In sum, REMIC continues to perform well, fulfilling its mission to promote affordable housing. This is evidenced by the stable AA rating from S&P. Upon approval of this report, it will be posted to the HDC website. That concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Other questions or comments on the annual report for REMIC? Okay. There being no other business, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn the REMIC board meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thanks to everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Like that.